As you see, we're talking about overcoming Satan tonight. And that's certainly something that's important for us. We need to overcome. We want to begin by looking at a couple of things in way of introduction. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12, war broke out in heaven. Now that's something. Now we're used to war here on earth. That's commonplace. But war broke out in heaven. It says, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. But we want to focus in on that verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. We want to be a part of that group that overcame. And in case you doubt that, also in the book of Revelation, here are some of the things that those who overcome will receive. In chapter 2 and verse 7, To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That sounds pretty good. Get to go to a paradise and eat of the tree of life. Chapter 2 and verse 11, He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And we know that second death to be eternal death in hell, separation from God. But if we overcome, we can't be harmed by that. Then, still in chapter 2, in verse 17, To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Well, that sounds pretty good too. The hidden manna. Special, just for those who overcome. Not just anybody's going to get this. And a white stone with a new name on it. Then in chapter 2, down in verse 26, He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You want to be powerful? That's the way to do it. We've got to be a part of this group that overcomes. Chapter 3 and verse 5, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's worthwhile. We want to overcome. And then, in verse 12 of chapter 3, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And so, that special thing will be for those who overcome. And then in verse 21 of that same chapter 3, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus promises, if you overcome, you're going to get to sit with me in the throne. That's pretty cool. That's how you know the kids get excited about getting to go and sit on Santa's lap, his little throne today. I know we went to a medieval dinner theater where they acted out knights and they had a king, and they had some thrones there, and the kids could sit on the throne and get their picture. Oh, that was exciting for them to sit on a throne. Jesus says, if you overcome, you can sit on my throne with me. Then in chapter 17 and verse 14, speaking of those who follow the dragon, the devil, he says, these shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, being Jesus. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Those are the ones that overcome with Jesus. They're chosen, they're called, they're faithful. And then in chapter 21 and verse 7, the final occurrence in the book of Revelation. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You want to be a child of God? You've got to overcome the devil, don't you? You know, Satan does well in the world today. He is inventive and clever in the way that he works. He schemes things and plans things. He's devious. And he is supernatural. In other words, he is beyond human power. He's not a natural being like we are. Not like an animal. He's beyond us. He has powers that we don't have. And yet, despite all of that, the Bible tells us that Satan can be defeated. And we can overcome him in the same way the Christians of the first century did. The first way that they overcame him is by the blood of the Lamb. So we see there in Revelation 12 and verse 11 that one of the ways that they overcame the devil was by the blood of the Lamb. We've seen we want to overcome, and if we're going to overcome, we have to do it the same way they did. By the blood of the Lamb is the first portion of this. Of course, we understand from Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 how precious that blood is. The church was purchased with the blood of Christ. That's a very expensive price. Now, we might pay hundreds of dollars for something, thousands of dollars for something. We might even try to figure out a way to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for things. Rich people pay millions of dollars for things. The U.S. government pays billions of dollars for things. But I dare say not many of us would pay for something with our blood. That's a much higher price than any dollar amount. But that's what God chose as the purchase price for the church. That tells us how precious it is. Far above the price of gold or jewels. Far above any dollar amount that could be placed on it. Paul says to the Ephesian elders, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And then not only did he purchase the church with his blood, but we're cleansed from sin by his blood. That's, of course, the song we just sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's no other way. So we are cleansed from our sin by his blood. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us. That blood is so special. What's more, sin is wiped out. It is just completely annihilated by the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 24 and following, we see that Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the book of Hebrews also tells us that the blood of bulls and goats could never fully take away the sin. But every year when they had to offer that again, it reminded them of their sin. But Jesus' blood, the perfect Lamb of God, His blood had the power to take the sin away, to put it away. The Bible tells us that He has removed it as far as east is from west. That's the power of the blood of Christ. So we see how important the blood of the Lamb is. Nothing but the blood can cleanse us of our sins. That's the first step in our overcoming Satan. The second step, of course, there in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the word of their testimony. They weren't shy. They weren't afraid. They weren't ashamed to stand up for what they believed in. Do you remember all of those occasions in the first century when they were put to the test? When they were told, oh, just quit preaching about Jesus and that's okay, we'll let you go. Just stop performing miracles in His name. Just quit giving Him the credit for all of these things. But they again and again said, no, we cannot do that. We've got to speak. We've got to preach. We've got to teach. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. If we're going to overcome like they did, we're going to have to do it in our life as well. The word of their testimony wasn't just a word that they said, but it was the way that they lived their lives, to show that word living in their lives. We cannot be ashamed of Jesus and His word and be living in accordance to the word of His testimony. Chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And we read earlier that to him who overcomes, Jesus said, I'll confess him before my Father and the holy angels. But here he says, if you're ashamed of me, then I'm going to be ashamed of you in front of my Father and the holy angels. And we need to understand, we cannot be ashamed of Jesus and His word. We cannot be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8. Paul writes to Timothy saying, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, we don't often want to share in sufferings, but that's going to be necessary if we stand up, if we live according to the word of the testimony of those in the first century, if we're going to live with that kind of devotion and dedication, if our testimony is going to be equal to theirs, we're going to suffer. We are fortunate at this point to live in a country where religious freedom is granted for the most part. But the time is coming when that may not be the case. Already things are changing. A few years ago, not a few years in the future, a few years ago, there was a homosexual rally up in Philadelphia, and some people who were opposed to that homosexuality did nothing more than go out on the street corner where they were having the homosexual rally and stood with their Bibles and read from the Word of God the scriptures regarding homosexuality. They were arrested and thrown in prison for reading the Word of God on the street corner in a public place. A place where people curse and lie and threaten others' lives, where people drink, where homosexuality was proclaimed freely, but to read the Word of God, they were arrested and put in jail. Some of the charges against them included hate speech, hate crimes. For what? For reading the Word of God. Don't think that we are immune in this country just because we've had religious freedom up to this point. There are constantly those who, whether they realize it or not, are serving Satan and are constantly pressing to try to have those freedoms taken away, to try to grant all sorts of deviant freedoms, but to take away the freedom of religion that we have always enjoyed in this country. Revelation 12 and verse 17, there was a war with Satan. We saw that a little while ago, but it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Most commentators who look at the book of Revelation recognize this, her offspring, to be, of course, Christians who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They weren't. Now, the woman often is referred to by many as the Jewish nation. That sprung out of the Jewish nation, of course, that had the testimony of Jesus Christ, are the Christians. The Jews did not believe in Jesus as the Christ, but the Christians do, and they keep the commandments of God. And the dragon is making war with them. Do you think he's quit in the last 2,000 years? Do you think he gave up? No, he's not going to give up until he is forced into submission by God. The devil is going to fight, and we better fight. Are we going to overcome by our testimony, by the word that we preach and teach to others, that we proclaim? That's the second way that we're told to overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. But then third, we see that they overcame because they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame because they did not love their lives to the death. You know, if we want to get to heaven, if we want to be some of God's singers who get home, if we want to be able to tell the old story throughout eternity, then we're going to have to overcome. And there is a great possibility that some here tonight may face persecution along the way. That some may die in peace, but others are not so fortunate. In the first century, Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded. Others were imprisoned, Peter and John, and so forth. Of course, we understand that John died a natural death, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, away from the Roman Empire. But they didn't love their lives so much that they would sacrifice what they believed in order to save their own skin. To think when Stephen stood up before that council and began to speak to them and began to talk to them about how stiff-necked and stubborn they were, don't you think he knew that the things he was saying to them were going to upset them just a little bit? Oh, yeah. Don't you think he remembered that just a few years earlier, Jesus had been put to death as well for saying some of those same types of things to this same group of people? He knew. Of course, what really made them angry was when he looked up and saw the heavens open and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And when he saw that, they were so furious that they gnashed their teeth on him. Now, I don't know whether that literally means they tried to bite him or whether they were just gnashing their teeth at him. The King James says on him, but it could just be a quirk of terminology there. But they didn't love their lives, even to the point of death. They would go all the way. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, we read about those who were slain for the testimony. He opened the fifth seal and I slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Are we so determined to overcome Satan that we'll be willing to die for the testimony that we hold? Are we afraid even to say that we hold a testimony? What about it? They were killed for the Word of God. I know they weren't members of the Church of Christ, but over in the Afghanistan area, some of the Taliban threatened some 500 Christian-like individuals, those who claim to be Christians there, threatened them and told them if they didn't quit meeting and turn to Islam, they were going to be killed. That's their same plan for us here in the United States, by the way. Either convert to Islam or die. That's what they want from us. Well, many of those individuals ran. They fled. They went somewhere else. Those in Pakistan that were near the Afghanistan border. They ran. They hid. Well, I don't know whether to say that's cowardly. I might want to go hide too if somebody said if you meet again next Sunday, you're going to be killed. But that was a constant threat against the church in the first century. Constantly they were faced with imprisonment or death because of the Word of God and the testimony that they held. In Revelation 7, verses 11 through 14, we see there are those who died in tribulation. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne of God, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They had to come out of the tribulation. We're going to have to go through tribulation in our lives, and we're going to have to come out the other side of it. It may be coming out of it in this life, and it may be coming out of it through our death. But we're going to have to go through it. Mark 8, verses 34 and following, Jesus says, it's not going to be easy. You've got to take up your cross and follow me. You must deny yourself. And again he says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And he asked the question, What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 37. You know what the devil's answer to that was? When he was trying Job? He said, Yeah, Lord, you let me kill off all his children and take away all of his possessions, but he still has his health. And he said, Lord, a man will give everything for to save his own skin. The devil believes that if it's to the point of either dying or giving it up, we'll give it up. He didn't believe we believe it strong enough. He didn't believe Job believed it strong enough. Job proved him wrong. What about us? Job never denied God. He remained faithful to God, even though Satan tormented him. But what will you give in exchange for your soul? Or better yet, what will you take in exchange for your soul? For some people it's money. For some people it's honor, fame, glory. For some people it's a relationship with another person. For some people it's some selfish physical desire like a drug addiction or alcohol. For some people it's just not being persecuted. I'll give up my soul if people just leave me alone and not pick on me. What about you? Are you willing to trade your soul for that? The devil's banking on it. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 5, we'll close with this idea. He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly or the fearful, the King James says, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you realize that Jesus just put being fearful, being cowardly, he put that right in there with murderers, idolaters? You mean just being afraid is as bad as worshiping a false god? He said they're going to wind up in the same place. You mean just being a coward is as bad as murdering somebody? They're going to wind up in the same place. We cannot overcome Satan if we are afraid. We've got to have courage. Remember all of those things that he said he would give to those who overcame. They're waiting for each and every one of us if we will overcome Satan. But we must overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our life even to the point of death. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you are a Christian, but you don't feel like you're overcoming Satan because you're too fearful perhaps, or maybe because you're not living according to the word of the testimony that the apostles shared with us, maybe you are not sharing in that blood of the Lamb. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.